your Bible and turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. When you arrive there, I want you to find verse number 11. Exodus chapter 3. Verse number 11. And then would you stand with me? We're going to start reading. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says this, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." My sermon, I've entitled it, What Are You? What Are You? You'll see in a moment why. Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Give clarity to my speech and to my thinking. Settle us all. Help us not to talk. Help us not to play. May we just concentrate for a little while on the Word of God. Help us tonight not to lose track of the fact that we are created in your image and we're to behave like children of God. Bless us tonight with thy Holy Spirit's presence, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of scripture that we just read, the children of Israel are in captivity to Pharaoh. God tells Moses to tell Pharaoh to let the people go. This is a real big part of the history of God's people. Well, Moses got a little worried about that thing, and he said, who am I that Pharaoh's going to listen to me? And God said, he is going to listen to you, Moses, because of who I am. And Moses says, why should the Israelites follow me out of captivity? And he said, you just tell the Israelites, I am sent you. So, Moses was worried about going to Pharaoh, most powerful man on the face of the earth, and he's supposed to go down and tell Pharaoh, what to do. And Moses said, why should the guy listen to me? He's going to listen to you, said God, because of who I am, not because of who you are, Moses. Then Moses said, if he listens to me and he lets us go, why should those millions of people follow me, said Moses. And God said, you tell them I am sent you. And then he even says, he uses the words, I am that I am. Kind of reminds me of Popeye a little bit. I am what I am. Okay, but he said, I am that I am. Now, let me explain. What God is more important than all else. You say, what is God? He's God. And that's what he's saying. He said, I am. I am what? I am God. This thing, what God is most important. The truth is, that's true about you and me too. What we are is very important. What are you really? My mom, when she would can, when I talk about canning, you all know what I'm talking about. Some of you young whippersnappers don't know what I'm talking about. But, we'd get green beans, and mom would get some ball jars and a pressure cooker, and she'd can those green beans. Now, let me explain. My mom, she would then take a magic marker, and she, once that those green beans had, she always waiting for the little top to go. And once it popped, that means it was sealed. Y'all like that, didn't you? Okay, can you do that? Some of you are so dumb. Then my mom would take a magic marker and she would write on the top of that jar what it was. Now, you say, did it have to be written on? I don't think she had to write green beans on it, because we could see what it was. But she did write the date on it, and that seemed to be important to her. Not because of fear of anything, other than she just always wanted to use the oldest ones first. And that's how she did it. But there was a label on the jar as to what the contents held. Now, you have a label, that's your name. But I have to tell you something. You really have a bigger label than your name. It's your character. It's what you are. Your name might be Bill or Bob or Sue or Joe. But let me tell you something. People associate something with you. And now I'm not talking about your name. Do you have a reputation? There are some people that people just consider them a gossip. Or there are some people just consider them a hothead. There are some people that you can set your clock by them. They're just prompt. See, you have a label, and you virtually have a label in life. And I'm not saying we all ought to go around labeling each other, but I am going to tell you that people know you not just by your name, but by what you are. And Moses said to God, he said, who am I to go talk to Pharaoh? And God said, you tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. Well, God was God. And he was saying, you go tell Pharaoh, and he knows what I am. And then Moses said, well, what about the children of Israel? Why should they follow me? He said, you tell them that I am sent you. I am that I am. God was not ashamed at all about what he was. Now, God, Jesus, is our role model. And I think God is very protective of his reputation. I mean, so much that it's perfect. It's flawless. Now, your reputation and my reputation will never be flawless. We are sinners saved by grace. Oh, but we are to strive to do right. And we're to strive to be right. Folks, listen, what you are is important. I know we're saved by grace. You didn't work your way to heaven. You trusted Jesus Christ and he saved you. That'll get you to heaven. But you need to understand, you're to be helping yourself to become more and more like God. And you ought to be growing in the Lord. Now, you know, maybe what we are is what we are in the dark. When nobody sees us, we can put up a pretty good front around people. We put up even a better front at church. But let me explain. What are you when nobody else sees you? What are you when you're alone? That may be the real you. What you are is probably what you are long term. I've always believed that everyone, sooner or later, will either rise or fall to their true character level. I think that eventually the real you surfaces. And you may fool somebody for a little while, but you won't fool somebody if the long-term you is being facaded. Sooner or later, the real you is going to creep out. Someone said, what you are will be tried when you're at the top. And what you are will be proven when you're at the bottom, meaning, hey, when you're successful, it may reveal the real you. Or when everything's not going well, it'll reveal the real you. But what you, hey, did you know, maybe what we are during a storm tells us what we really are. Storms don't just make you. The storms of life sometimes reveal to you your weaknesses. But what you are is very important. At a funeral, if you ever came to a funeral that I conducted, my whole goal at the funeral is to basically introduce the deceased to the congregation. And I will, in essence, say, this is what he was. This is what she was. If that happened, if you died, how would we describe you to everyone? What is the image that you portray? What are you? Now remember, God said, I am. God's not ashamed of what he is. And we should live in such a way that God is not ashamed of what we are. I'm going to tell you a little story. I was visiting a man, and to be very honest, he was quite wealthy. I'd gone to his home, and when I got there, one of the things that he wanted to show me was his RV. In one of those big, fancy $70,000, $80,000 RVs, you know, cost more than our homes cost, and beautiful. Then he had a book that had stickers in it so he could show me every place that he had been. And I mean, he had been to every resort and all over the place. And he was very proud of where he had been. Then, in his den, he had pictures of himself with people and famous people, politicians, musicians, athletes, and he had a wall full of pictures of himself with these, what he thought were famous or great people. Then he said, take a walk with me on my property here. In his garage, he had two or three cars, and they were just his toys. He had a plane. He had a boat. All these things. In his office, he said, behind that picture, I have a private safe. It's where I keep the records for my stocks, my bonds. I have bars of gold, bars of silver. I have jewels that I keep in it. And I was listening to this guy talk, and he was basically saying to me, these are the things that ought to impress you. He wanted me to be impressed with those things. Can I tell y'all something? Those things don't impress me. You say, well, Pastor, what impresses you? I've tried to develop the same attitude that God has. You say, what impresses God? What you are. What you are. And that is the basis of my lesson tonight. Listen to me, if you will. I call the sermon, what are you? What are you? For instance, what you are, not where you have been, is what is most important. What you are, not where you have been, is most important. This fella had gone all around the world, and you know, he's got his RV, and he's got stickers from every fantastic resort. He thought that was really impressive. That wasn't impressive to me. In Genesis 15:7, the Lord said, he said, I am the Lord. God reminds us of what is important is what God is. And what is important for you and I is not where we have been, but it is what we are. You say, I've been to the White House. Well, I'm glad. I've been to the White House. I've been to blue houses. I've been to green houses. I've been to yellow houses. Say, I've been to this one great big church. Okay. I've been to this one college. Let me tell you where I went to college. I've been to this one conference. I've been to so-and-so's house. I've traveled around the world. I've been on other continents. I'm glad. Good for you. But where you have been is not impressive to God. It's what you are that is impressive to God. And Christians, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in this world with where we've been giving us bragging rights. Truth of the matter is, God looks down, and all day long, God is concerned about what you are. When Moses was afraid to talk to Pharaoh, and he said, well, what am I going to tell him? God said, you tell him, I am sent you. And he knows what I am. God didn't say, you tell him that I've been to the moon and back. No, he said, you just tell him what I am. And that'll take care of it. You want to know something? Most of your problems would be solved if you just become what you're supposed to become. Become what you're supposed to become. But in this world, people almost want bragging rights of where they have been. Hey, if you get to travel the world, fine. But you're traveling the world doesn't make you special. You're traveling the world does not make you better than someone else. We're talking about personal character, not the things that life include, but what you are. Okay, so I said number one, what you are, not where you have been, is most important. Number two, what you are, not who you know, is most important. In Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1, the Lord said, I am thy shield. Now, there's only one person that you need to know that's of any quality to you, and that's Jesus Christ. But in this world, as far as people are concerned, what you are is more important than who you know. You say, I know a multimillionaire. Well, good. God's not impressed that you know a multimillionaire. You say, well, what's God impressed with? With what you are. I spoke to a man today that told me this. He said, Brother Owens, in the last 29 days, I've made almost $250,000. And I know he thought I was going to go, yahoo! And I said, in the last 29 days, I've made $1,375. You know what? I don't think he was impressed. But he doesn't know how unimpressed I was when he made $250,000. I'll tell you what impressed me. The hard work that earned it. I wasn't impressed with the millionaire. And folks, just so you know, you get around the right kind of people, they're just going to convince you it's who you know. It's who you know. It's where you've been. No, it's what you are. It's what you are that counts most. I know a big CEO. I know a big politician. Folks, it's not who you know. God is more interested in what you are. Well, I know this big-time evangelist. That doesn't make you spiritual. I know this big-time pastor. That doesn't make you full of the Holy Ghost. I know this. I know someone that is ultra-successful. Knowing successful people does not make you a success. The important thing in life is not who you know, but it is in what you are. What you are. God said, I am sent you. He said the powerful thing to pass on to Pharaoh is I am what I am. God said, this is what I am. And we get all caught up in maybe who we know. We get all caught up in maybe where we've been. But those aren't important things. What we are is what's important. Number three, what you are, not the things that you have, is most important. What you are, not what you have, is most important. In Genesis 17:1, God said, I am the Almighty. You say, preacher, I live in a $500,000 home. Well, I'm glad for you. But I'll be real honest with you. God doesn't look down from heaven and say, wow, ooh, really impressed. And the truth is, you and I shouldn't spend our time being impressed with things like that. Now listen, if you have a $500,000 home, more power to you. I'm glad that you do, and I hope you worked hard to get it. I'm more impressed with the character that helped you to get it than what you got because you had the character. Because what you are is more important than where you've been. What you are is more important than who you know. And what you are is more important than what you have. Say, I've got a nice, fancy car. I bet yours takes gas just like mine. But because you own a fancy car, that's not what's most important in life. You say, I have designer clothes, and they're very expensive clothes. Or I have jewelry that's worth a lot. Well, I'm not, doesn't upset me, but I'll tell you this, doesn't impress me either. What are you? That's what's most important in life. Say, I have a specialty made furniture. Good, good. Say, it was made by the Amish people. Good, probably well made. My furniture was made by morons. But it works. You say, I have a yacht. Okay. I have a private plane. Good. I'm a member of the country club. Good. But what are you? Because the truth of the matter is, what you have is not as important as what you are. You know, I know some people that have all sorts of things, and they're very nasty, vile, wicked people. And I know people that rub shoulders with the big shots. But those that do, I know many of them that they're immoral and they're hateful and they're stingy. And that didn't make you anything. What you are is more important than where you've been. What you are is more important than what you have. What you are is more important than where you've been or what. And let me go on. Number four, what you are is more important than what you've seen. What you are is more important than what you've seen. In Exodus 6:2, he said, I am your God. You know, you say, I've seen the sights of the world. I hope you have, and I'm glad for you. But you know, what you have seen, what value is there in that? So, well, let me tell you what I saw. Okay, and I'm glad that you saw it. Well, let me explain. What you are will make or break you. What you are is God's primary interest in your life. You've seen, Pastor, I've seen greater ministries than this built. Well, I don't care what you've seen. What did you build? What are you? I watched a great Bible college built. So whoop-de-doo. You saw it. You're a spectator. You have pictures of what somebody else did. What are you? What have you built? I've seen this powerful situation or this success. Hey, you say, I've seen a miracle. Well, I'm glad you did. In the Bible, you need to be careful. There are people that saw miracles, but those people, they were virtually worthless. Just seeing a miracle does not make you special. Is what you are that will make you or break you. See, I seen some famous people. I went to a concert. I seen these famous people. You probably shouldn't have been at the concert. Woo! And you know, in this world, these are the kind of things they brag about. In this world, this is what the people of the world are all about. Who I know, what I have, where I've been, what I've seen. Woo! Oh, whoa! You know something? That didn't impress me in the slightest. I want to know what you are. I want to know, do you pay your bills on time? Do you get up in the morning? Do you go to work? Do you accomplish something? Do you tell the truth? Are you moral? What kind of person are you? You say, well, let me tell you what I've got. I don't care what you have. Let me tell you where I've been. So what? Anybody can buy a ticket and go there. What are you? What are you? That's what's most important, then. What you are, not how much you're worth, is what's most important. You say, I'm worth a lot of money in stocks. Well, good. I own a lot of land, okay? I've got bonds, and I have gold. And I have silver. And in my retirement account, there's so much I don't know what I'm going to do with it all. And I have an inheritance. And when the girls come back in, I want them to sit in the back. They came in late, and they're going out early. And so that sends a signal to me. So they can just sit in the back when they come back in. But listen, money, gold, riches, fame, all of that, that's not what's important. What's important is what we are. I know people that have a lot of money, but they didn't earn it. They inherited it. I know some that have a lot of money. They didn't earn it. They stole it. You say, I'm really impressed with them. They've got that much money. Maybe they stole it. Does that impress you? Why, certainly it should not. When Moses was worried about how to handle the most powerful man on the face of the earth at that time, God said, you just remind that man what I am. He said, well, what about the children of Israel? He said, you remind them of what I am. And I think God is telling us what we are is what's most important. Now, I'm not a humanist in any way, shape, or form. I am going to tell you this. God expects you and I to become everything we can become for Him. And how many toys we get along the way, and where we go, and who we know, and how much money we get, that's not what's most important. It is our personal character. It's our living the Bible and becoming what God wants us to become that's most important. Now, why is that? Well, I think in just a couple of statements, I'll explain it. Why is what we are most important? Because what you are is what God sees. What you are is what God sees. Folks, according to the Bible, God does not look down and see how many people you know and say, ah, they're successful. Now, you think that. You say, why so? Well, how many friends you have? How many people have friended you on Facebook? Isn't that a big deal? I mean, doesn't that make you special? I mean, isn't that what success is? There are all sorts of flunkies out there that have more friends than you. It's what you are that is most important. Why? Because that, what you are, is what God sees. Did you know that you and I, we're God's product? We're God's product. And your name may be on the top of the ball jar. It may say Jeff on top, but you know what? Everybody can see right through the jar what I am. My name, the label, probably not important. I wonder if we needed to pick, not a name, a quality. If we had to boil your life down to one quality, or lack thereof, what would people see? What would people say? Would you be labeled lazy, inconsistent, hateful, hurtful? What would it be? See, why is what we are such a big deal? Because what we are is what God sees. Secondly, it's important because what you are is how you're representing God. You represent God with what you are. You know, you don't really represent God with where you've been. Nowhere in the Bible did God say, go as many places as you can because that makes you special. See how many places you can go because everybody's really going to like that and get saved. No, it's what you are. What you are is important because you represent God with what you are. What you are is important because you represent God's church with what you are. You say, but I know these people. And I had my picture taken with a football star and a movie star. That nowhere in the Bible does God say that's influential. You say, well, what's influential? What you are. What you are. The Bible says, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, God's saying, I want you to become something. So, if we're not careful, we get all caught up in this world, and the world says what you have, where you've been, who you know, how much money you have. That's what it's all about. No, it's not. It's you becoming like God. That's what it's all about. It's what you are becoming that is a big deal. Not what you have, not where you've been, not who you know. And who are you to be like? God. We're to be God's child were to be like little Jesus, as if you will, here on this earth. So, why is what we are so important? Because what we are is what God sees. Why? Because what you are is how you represent God. It's how you represent your church. Hey, it's how you represent your family. What you are is how you're representing your family. I happen to believe that you and I, we ought to represent our families in a very, very positive way. You know, I would hate to think that I work somewhere and that if my son went there and tried to get a job, he couldn't get a job because when they look at the application, they say, this kid's name is Owens. We got a bum Owens that used to work for us. I'd never hire that guy. If he's anything like his dad, wouldn't that be sad? Hey, listen, what we are represents our families. And I'll tell you, and I really do believe this, parents are better off leaving an inheritance of character to their children than an inheritance of money. Because your kids will go out and blow all the money, but if you give them character, they will make their way in life and they'll do something with their life. So, what I am is important because what I am is the way that I represent God. What I am is important because what I am is the way I represent the church. What I am is important because what I am is how I represent my family. What I am is important because what I am is what God sees. God, hey, God's not busy looking at where I've been. That's not how God determines me. God looks down at me and he says, I want to see the character of that man. Number three, why is what we are so important? Because what you are sums up the way you're living your life. It sums up the way you're living your life. Now, what you are is probably the greatest challenge you'll face in life. What you are. What you are. You know, there are people that can get things and meet people and go places, but I will promise you something. Your greatest challenge in life is the person you look at in the mirror every day. That's your greatest challenge. You say, no, it's my children. No. Now you say, it's my wife. No. No. It's you. You say, what's holding me back? The thing that will hold you back most in life is you. You. God loves you. God wants you to develop you into a godly Christian because what you are is more important than where you've been. What you are is more important than what you have. What you are is more important than who you know. What you are is more important than what you're worth. What you are. And I'm finished. But when I read that scripture, and Moses said, how in the world can I go talk to a world leader? And God said, you go tell him, I am sent you. And God knew that Pharaoh would know what that meant. Pharaoh knew who he was, what the quality of the God he was messing with. Now, folks, let you and I be good representatives of God. Let's become what we're to become, not try to get what we want to get. But become. Did you know this, young people? If you'll get character in your life, you could probably get the things you want. Because hard work will get you where you want to go. Becoming what you ought to become will get you the things that the world would like to have. But those things are not most important. It's what you become because you want, because you go after that thing called character. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, I have not spoken to you about your character flaws tonight. I've spoken to you about the importance of working on you, fixing you, looking at you. We get so busy looking at everybody else. You need to take a good long look at you. And don't let anything else be important, but take a look and say, what am I? What am I becoming? look for the weaknesses and decide to strengthen them. But thank God for the strengths. But don't get caught up in this world's philosophy. They're all about those other things. And those other things are all secondary. Primary is what we are and what we're supposed to be. Is we're supposed to be like Jesus. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, in this sermon, I've been challenged. There's something in it. And maybe God spoke into your heart specifically. Maybe there's something about you that you need to fix. Some of you, don't live in denial all your life about you. You work on you and you fix you. You work on that. But who here would say, I believe God has spoken to my heart and I needed to be prompted in a given area tonight and it's obvious to me and God has prompted me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Sure. Sure. God bless you. You may put your hands down. We'll have a time of altar call if you need to come. Maybe you need to come up here and say, Lord, there's something about me I've got to fix. And I want to fix that part of me. And I've not preached on your sin. I've preached on the importance of you becoming what you're supposed to become. You pick the sin. You pick the weakness. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what you need to work on. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? To those of you that are a little younger, let me give you a warning. Don't get caught up in the world of I want to see how much I can get. I want to see who I can go see. I want to know the big shots and have the big things. And I'm not telling you I'm against all that. I'm against that taking the place of you becoming what you're supposed to become. Don't let any of that be more important than God. Don't let any of that be more important than Jesus. Hey, and I'll tell you, if you're unsaved, you're not going to become what you ought to become. Our humanistic world, it's all about the human race. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying it's all about you becoming like God. You'll only achieve becoming what you're supposed to become through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. Don't get too impressed because you know somebody, or you've seen something, or you've gone somewhere, or you have some things. You just work on you. You become what you ought to become. He said, tell them, I am sent you. What I am is important.